The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's telly time now. We're joined back in Dublin for Gordon Hayden and also by Melanie Finn, the showbiz editor of Independent News and Media, to talk about all the TV issues of the week. Have you been watching the new Ricky Gervais effort Afterlife on Netflix? Before we hear about it, let's get a clip from the first episode in which his character Tony has a run-in with his postman.
There you go.
What?
It's your post.
Put it to the door.
Well, you're here, so it saves me a trip.
I don't know what with it, do I?
Why not?
You're new, aren't you?
Yeah, I was transferred.
No, I don't care. But presumably in your old round, you used to put things through the door, didn't you?
Mate, there's no need to get all leery.
Why are you talking to me like this?
What, are you going to report me?
Yeah. What's your name?
Your law.
Trust me.
Pat.
Postman Pat?
Yeah.
Put it to the door. That was easy, wasn't it?
You could have done that.
No, I couldn't.
Why not?
I'm not a postman.
Gordon Hayden, is that just typical Ricky Gervais?
Oh, it's absolutely brilliant, Matt. And one of the things that has been said about Ricky Gervais in the past when it came to The Office and extras was that he brought more of that mean-spirited fare to it, whereas Stephen Merchant brought more of the sort of the humanity and the empathy to the characters. Whereas with Afterlife, because himself and Merchant have gone their separate ways, Gervais's output since the demise of their partnership hasn't been that great. It's been a bit spotty. But definitely I can say he is back on form and he's brought an awful lot of that humanity that's been missing from some of his work. It's a great setup to this. Now, when you hear it initially, you think it's going to be real dark, dour fare. But
okay, what is it? Just explain the setup to me.
So when we first stand, the opening scene is his character Tony, and he's on his laptop and he's watching this message from his wife, who has sadly passed away from terminal cancer, and she's trying to advise him on basically how to keep on going, because he's just, as she puts it, you know, he's a bit of a mess and he does nothing for himself, and he's finding it very difficult to try and move on in his life. He's tried to take his own life, but what stopped him from doing so was that the dog came into the room just as he was about to kill himself.
Yeah.
And the dog needed to be fed, and in that those few minutes while he was feeding the dog, he just thought, I just won't be, I just won't bother
he
going
said
through
if,
with it.
He said if his dog could open a can, that he would be dead.
That's
right,
exactly,
because
it.
He's about to self harm. He's in the bath. I mean, it's full of pathos, isn't it? It's full of black humour, some very, very dark things, which I think Irish viewers will really relate to, because we love a bit of black humour. And this is Ricky Gervais, you know, at his blackest, at his best. I think it's even better than extras. I'll go out there and say it. And we have all these hilarious scenes because he's working in a local free newspaper. Nothing wrong with that. That's where I started myself. But it also spawns hilarious human interest stories that you would just never get, you know, and there's a different one for each episode. And
is it surprising? Do you get actually moments of genuine surprise at how things take a turn?
I kind of laughed out loud. And yeah, there is a complete unpredictability because Gervais has created this anti-hero. You shouldn't like him. He's so furious at the world because he is so grief-stricken, but yet at the same time you strangely start to care for him and nearly cheer and applaud at kind of the unfairness of the world, and also how he tackles the mundanity of life and surviving, you know, after losing his beloved wife.
Because the way he feels, Matt, is that since the wife has died, he just gives up caring. And so he becomes like this verbal vigilante. He'll say anything to anybody. He just doesn't care. It's almost like how a lot of us may have had a bad day and we try to keep that all contained and we don't want to take it out on other people or any idiots that we come up against. Whereas his attitude is, I just don't care. I'm going to say what I want. And I just...
There's a bang of Curb Your Enthusiasm off this.
There's a massive bang of it off it, all right. And he's good pals with Larry David, and I'm sure he's seen what has worked for Larry David and thought, now that I've got this opportunity to go onto Netflix, I'm not going to be as restrained as I would be, say, if I went back to, say, BBC Two.
Oh, yeah.
He can very much...
They say the C word all the time, right?
Absolutely.
Like, practically has its own starring role. But there's also a heart back for me to The Office, the original Office, because it's set in a local newspaper office, and there's a lot of these kind of scenarios where someone's, you know, trying to be the funny one and he's just staring at them blankly, or, you know, you've got the eager young intern, for example, people, you know, who's dying to do journalism because it's, you know, such a burgeoning industry. And
even a psychologist is a narcissist. So there he's paying good money to try and talk through his problems, and all his psychologist wants to do is talk about himself.
Yeah. The only criticism I would have, it was a little too short, the episodes. It's quite clearly
designed
for
Netflix. What about the suggestion that he is just sort of recycling old material as well?
If
you're a Ricky Gervais fan, you'll have seen a lot of this and heard a lot of it before, down to even the exact jokes.
Yeah.
I think if you would have to be a real Ricky Gervais fan.
An Anorak fan, Matt.
Like listening to a lot of the podcasts and some of his stand-up material. Yeah, he's definitely recycled stuff. But I think... I think that's been a bit uber critical of him.
Yes, 100%. I think there's enough original new material in this. It's very, very well written. It's very fun. Like, to me, it was laugh out loud, and I watched it with my husband, which is one of the few things that we'd actually watch together. I would say to anyone who hasn't seen it, watch it. You won't regret it. And you will find some laughter in the darkest of moments for Tony.
Okay, I wonder, do any of our listeners actually watch Good Morning Britain with Piers Morgan? I know any time we've had him on the programme in the past, and it's a long time ago, he wasn't a particularly popular guest. He's not very popular with many of his own guests for reasons like this. Let's just remember the time when he announced that Ewan McGregor had cancelled his planned interview with the show after finding out it was one of the days that Piers Morgan was due to present it.
So this is quite interesting. So Ewan McGregor, who was supposed to be our big guest... in a few minutes, has just tweeted this. Was going on Good Morning Britain, didn't realise Piers Morgan was host, won't go on with him after his comments about the Women's March. So because I didn't think that the march was a fantastic thing, so I didn't agree with the politics of it, Ewan McGregor, who's an actor, who was here to talk about a movie, has decided he can't come and talk about his movie, which I think is a shame. And kind of plays into my view that maybe actors should just talk about the films and not get so worked up about politics, because not really their game.
Oh, pure Alan Partridge, that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But apparently there are more people who won't go on, and he's now taken the hump because he's discovered about somebody who was willing to go on his day off, knowing that he wouldn't be there to interview him. Tell us about this, Gordon.
That's right, Matt. Les Dennis, one time a collaborator with Russ Abbott, if we go back that far. I mean, he was on Richard Herring's Leicester Square podcast, and Richard Herring's is a hugely popular podcast, and it came to the attention of Piers that Les said, no, I would never go on Good Morning Britain unless it was a Thursday when Ben Shepherd is on. That's when I would go on. Well, of course, then Piers managed to spin it by saying that this is just a cheap shot by Les Dennis trying to get some sort of attention in the press. But he's now got a new rule that if anybody does not want to go on the show when he's not broadcasting, they're not allowed on. So he's very much throwing his toys out of the pram. But look, Piers Morgan has turned into a panto character.
He
really is.
Hasn't he an extraordinarily thin skin for someone who's a former tabloid newspaper editor? I mean, he's just become like walking clickbait. I mean, the very fact that he picked up in these comments who are what? On Richard Herring's Leicester Square theatre podcast. Oh yes, that much listened to output. The fact that he even took umbrage at that is ridiculous. And he's had a load of celebrity spats. I had to stop following him on Twitter because he just became too irritating. And he seems to deliberately, nearly kind of like Jordan used to do, have these celebrity spats just to keep himself in the headlines.
And he always loses. It's like every time he takes on Gary Lineker, Lineker scores again.
Their tirade is just absolutely fantastic. Yeah. But even Matt, with the Steve Coogan's return with Alan Partridge, the figures haven't been, they've been okay. They definitely are going down. But it's also been said in the press that the reason for that is because we're getting Piers Morgan every morning on Good Morning Britain, that the allure of Alan Partridge just isn't there anymore, because you're getting to see the real version every morning.
And just before we take our break, Melanie, the allure of Big Bang Theory, I think, has faded for many people long ago. Apparently now we've learned that the final episode has been given a runtime and air date. What do we know about this?
It has indeed, yes. CBS, which broadcasts the long-running sitcom, they've just announced that there's an upcoming hour-long last special. It will arrive in on May 16th, and this will be broadcast on E4 at a later date. It's had 12 series, and it was one of the most popular comedies on TV, but I really feel like it's run its course at this stage. It's time to move on to newer and better things. I think it's imploded.
279 episodes.
Yeah.
Let's just hear a little bit. This is a clip from The Big Bang Theory in which Sheldon tries to break up with Amy.
I'm removing my digital footprint from the internet so Amy Farrah Fowler can't find me and compel me to meet her mother. Oh. I've also also sent Amy a relationship termination notice and changed my cell phone number and email address.
What if she just comes over?
She'll get lost. We no longer live at 2311 Los Robles. We now live at 311 Los Robles.
You changed the address on the building? What about mail?
Yeah, but no worries. I explained my predicament to our letter carrier. He was sympathetic. His exact words were, "Got your back, Jack. Bitches be crazy."
Who is it?
Amy Farrah Fowler.
Darn, she found me.
She's been here before.
The only flaw in an otherwise perfect plan.
It just goes on and on and on, doesn't it? Like it needs that laughter track. There's nothing funny about that whatsoever. They were all getting 1 million per episode. Isn't that shocking?
Yes, but kudos to them. All the main stars then took a pay cut into 2017, so two of the female co-stars could get equal pay. So I have to say, fair play to them for that.
But I think for Jim Parsons, even though he's made an awful lot of money out of it, he plays Sheldon. He decided he didn't want to get typecast, believe it or not, and that's why he's up in sticks, where the rest of them are devastated, because if you're on that sweet gig making the best part of nearly a million...
You'd never have to work again, Gordon, like.
Well, that's
not
it.
Like us.
I don't know if they'll ever work again with some of the horrendous acting in that show.
So, what are we going to talk about now? Why don't we talk a little bit about the idea of another streaming service? Because, Gordon, this is something that we dealt with Andy O'Donoghue during our tech spot yesterday. From a television point of view, are you looking forward to the additional choice that an Apple streaming service will give us, or is it just going to be all too much?
It feels like it's all a bit too much,
too
Matt. We've got obviously Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus is coming out, then ITV are going to have BritBox, now Warner Brothers has said they're going to bring other, and then we're going to have Apple. They've got their big announcement as Andy was chatting about, but March 25th is when it's all going to be announced. They're already very busy at original content, Apple. Their business model will definitely be different to Netflix. It's going to be less raunchy, but they're spending a huge amount of money. Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell, they're working on a comedy program all about breakfast television. Taika Waititi, he's a very popular Kiwi director. He's hard at work on an adaptation of Time Bandits, the old Terry Gilliam movie. That's going to be a TV series. So that is all going to be announced. And even Steven Spielberg and J.J. Abrams, they're going to be involved with Apple as well, along with Oprah Winfrey. So they've got a lot of big guns. But at the same time, though,
I think they're too late.
For another streaming service.
Are they not a bit late with this as well? They're a bit too late out of the gate. I mean, Netflix has been going, say, 8 or 9 years. It has all those millions of loyal subscribers to it already. You know, it's so hard to take them on. And I think for me, it's going to be a case of quantity over quality. You know, you can't have that much output that's good and that's going to keep people's attention.
And it's interesting, while this is happening, Amazon, Melanie, are putting out teasers for the Lord of the Rings TV series. But we still don't know when we're going to get that, do we?
It's all very vague. You know, there's been no official press release or plot synopsis. A few weeks ago, the official Twitter account posted a link to an interactive map of Middle Earth. And then there was another post made just recently, and it has confirmed that the series will be set in the Second Age. Anorak fans of... I don't know why I'm looking at
don't
you
Don't look
there.
At me, Melanie.
It will definitely not feature a young Aragorn, as the character was born in the Third Age. So really, you know, they've kind of left everything up in the air there. You know, they haven't confirmed anything too much.
Well, I suppose it'll be something for people to go to once Game of Thrones comes to a conclusion.
Exactly.
When the final series is broadcast soon.
It'd be devastating.
Okay, let's get your picks of the week. Gordon, there's a lot to your pick of the week, because you're looking for Comic Relief on Friday from 7 p.m. on BBC One, also coverage on BBC Two. What attracts you to Comic Relief? Is it actually funny?
Oh, well, no, look, some of it is a bit cringe-inducing now as well, I have to be honest with you.
Celebrities burnishing their own egos a lot of the time.
A lot, yeah, very much so. I don't know if this says about me. The bit I'm really looking forward to seeing is the sequel to Four Weddings and a Funeral. It's going to be a short film. They did it last year with Love Actually, so it's interesting to see what the characters are up to. And I think it's been 20-odd years since...
25 years. Since the film came out, I feel old.
So all the cast, for the most part, are back. Mike Newell, who helmed the original film, he's directed this. Richard Curtis, who is one of the co-founders of Comic Relief, he's written the script. So there's been a few little teasers to it. So that is going to be broadcast. But then there's a couple of other cringe-inducing moments that we're going to see, like the Strictly Dance-a-thon. Mind you, though, if you're a bit of a sadist, it might be fun to see Tess Daly and Claudia Wilkeman dance for 24 hours. maybe they've had it coming. But all in all, though, Red Nose Day, they raised 38 million last year, so they're obviously going to try and up that.
It's a fantastic event, yeah. And there's also Kilimanjaro, the bigger Red Nose climb.
Well, actually, yeah, we'll actually have a clip here of the celebrities speaking about their fears ahead of the climb.
I know that the altitude is going to be a problem.
Who knows which one of us is going to succumb to it?
I don't know whether my body's going to deal with it.
Since winning the Super Bowl, I've always been looking forward to that next big challenge in my life.
I think only 70% of people who try it actually get to the top.
My biggest fear is not doing, like, not completing it.
I've never ever climbed anything before, like nothing.
Christ, does everything have to be this formula at the moment?
It's a journey, Matt.
This, the journey, but having this music underneath and these little soundbite clips about the, I mean, it's intertransferable between the X Factor, Strictly Come Dancing, and now climbing the shagging mountain.
Let it all out there, Matt. I'll give you three Hail
Marys.
Hang on,
I climbed to the base of Kilimanjaro. It's a very large mountain.
Congratulations. Congratulations. But you're not going doing little dramatic little soundbites for a TV documentary,
Jesus,
are
I can
you?
Barely speak after it, Matt. No
you
way.
Talking there, we'll put a rousing soundtrack underneath you, Melanie. It'd be great.
Get some pathos going for me, yes.
What's your pick of the week, Melanie?
Mine is Losers on Netflix, which has just dropped, as the young people say, on the streaming service. And I never thought I would watch a documentary about curling, of all things, or about Torquay United. And this is just one of the best pieces of documentary making I've seen. It revolves basically around sports stories. And it doesn't, you know, it's not a straightforward, let's look at the victors. It's the losers. And how badly have team like Torquay United lost over the years? But without spoiling it too much, let's just say...
Second, there's a reason why nobody watches Torquay United because they're crap.
They're
so
crap.
Why would anyone watch a television program?
Well, now, you will be eating your words when you see what happens to one of the players who was tackled by none other than a particularly hungry police dog at one scene. It has to be seen to be believed. I was actually like, no way, that didn't just happen.
Okay, because I know Sunderland Till I Die, I watched two episodes of Gordon. Let it go. Wasn't really particularly pushed on it.
Winning is boring, though. You know, it's better to look at...
Oh, no, believe me, Sunderland weren't winning. Absolutely not. It was a relegation season.
You know I wasn't a football fan.
Look, do you know what? That Torquay thing, it wouldn't really do it for me. Like, is there enough, though, to sustain it? How many episodes is there?
It's really short, though. It's only like 25 minutes. It's the same length as Afterlife. And curling. I never thought I'd watch a documentary about Canadian curling. And there I was.
How did you discover that?
It's trending on Netflix. Oh. So yes, go to my TV. What's trending? And Losers came up.
Hang on a second.
So.
I thought the algorithms always watched what you have watched.
You see, mine is mixed up with my husband's. So he's a massive sports fan. So yeah, I need to just get my own account, Matt, because it's messing up my algorithms. Like, I want the girly stuff, the rom-coms, and it keeps coming up with sports
don't
suggestions.
Don't you log in separately on your account? I mean,
no,
that's the way
TV.
We do it in our house.
No. It's on TV. So we get all the kids' shows as well coming up as well, which is highly annoying.
Hang on, but on Netflix, though. This is a Netflix production,
isn't it? Yeah, we get Netflix on our Sky service. So we can watch Netflix on the TV because it's connected to the Wi-Fi.
Okay, so everybody goes in under the same. Because if you just go in through the Netflix app, Gordon, isn't it, that you can actually separate between yourself and your children and the rest of it.
Yes.
So that you don't get ridiculous nonsense that your teenage
like
daughters are watching.
Popping up,
are keeping up with the Kardashians type equivalents popping up on your stream.
Let it all out, Matt. I can feel your pain there.
Feel
absolutely.
Yes.
There, yeah.
I'm going to have to leave it. I'm going to have to leave it before I give away anything more about my home life on the occasions that I am at home. Thank you very much, Gordon Hayden and Melanie Finn from Independent News and Media for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.